This is RSB and the Update, episode 502, recorded Friday, January 30th, 2015, The Apathetic Fish. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update, the week of RuneScape that has brought with it a whole bunch of interesting little doohickeys called Rune Labs.
Doohickeys.
Yeah, doohickeys. You know those little things?
Doohickey.
Oh.
Doohickey.
Okay, well, thank you.
Do you know anything about anything?
Well, yeah, I do, but that's just the way you pronounce things, and then you say them.
Yeah, but you're wrong.
Well, that's what you're here for, right?
Yes.
And that's Earth.
Hi. I'm Earth.
So,
Reed.
So let's start with Play Our Own Ports. This update brings in those three adventures that were voted for that require, of course, agility, dungeoneering, and divination at level 90. Agility for the Tengu, divination for the memory, and dungeoneering for the exile.
I don't have any of those levels, so I will let you talk about those.
Yeah, well, I mean, it starts off as you normally do with any new ports adventure. You start off with a quick little 20-minute mission, and, you know, you just progress through them, and you move through the storylines. And then we aren't seeing any new trade goods or resources brought in with this ports update. The highest resource that you can still get is terracotta. And as I mentioned, no new trade goods. So you do use the existing trade goods and resources to build the beneficiaries or rewards, I don't know, that this update provides you with. It's also fair to note that there's a new type of voyage called the Clue Voyage, which give you interesting little rewards, including Tengu cosmetic gear, trait removal for captains, and various stat boosts. So these are kind
of... Yeah, I think I got one of those for my whaler?
Yeah. So they're essentially little treasure trails that your crew can do, and at the end of the day, after a number of steps, they bring back that said reward.
But they can fail.
Yes, of course. So... As with anything in ports. You know, some people said that, oh, we should add a new region to this. Some people are happy with the way it is. And, you know, ports is a developed piece of content. It's a piece of content that has been around for, what, almost 3 years now? I know it's been around for at least 2 years.
I don't know when it was released.
But it's mature and, you know, it doesn't need extra bells and whistles, because then you get to a point in the game where you're just really looking at, you know, adding what we like to call power creep, where you're having things do things that they shouldn't exactly be doing. So in my view, this update hits spot
power
on
creep? What?
Yeah.
Can you give an example?
Well,
so that means
a definition of power creep is having a piece of equipment or something that, say, might be a melee weapon, but it also would say grant you a benefit to your agility skill, and then you start having more of these, you know, hanging around.
Oh, so it's just shit that does everything.
Yes,
right?
Hence the term
power
creep. And there's no need for specific skills. And I think we hit the nail on the head here, and that, you know, we're okay with just keeping this update as pure as can be. The first two things that I want to highlight that this update brought that people are going to be most interested in are the level 85 weapons for melee and magic. You might be wondering, where is the ranged weapon? Well, we got that with the last port updates, Death Lotus Darts, which, if you ask anyone out there, how many people use darts for day-to-day ranged combat?
I'm sure they're really inconvenient to get, too. How much can you get per...
I don't know. I've never made them, mainly because of the pain of using darts, and, well, there's better ways of doing ranged combat.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But so what do you need to make these new weapons?
Well, let's start with the melee ones. They're basically called the Tetsu Katana and the Wakizashi, which you can tell, Eastern Lands naming conventions going on there. But anyways, these
What were they called?
The first the one is
Wakizashi.
Yes, that's the offhand. That's the offhand.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the offhand ones. But the main hand one is just the plain old Tetsu Katana, requiring 92 smithing, Tengu Tsuba, which is a rare item found from one of the voyages in the last ports region, 100 plate and 50 pearls.
And how are the stats on those?
Level 85 weaponry, as we've come to expect in-game. You know, same...
That means... I don't know anything about the weapon stats. Is that... Give me a weapon that it is comparable to.
Well, we don't have any level 85 gear currently, so I'll just say that it's...
So
it,
behind...
Behind Drygors and ahead of Chaotix.
Okay.
So it's got 2178 accuracy with 1,041 damage for the main hand variant of the melee weapon. And then the offhand variant has, once again, the same accuracy as we do, but only half the damage at 520. Now, if we compare this to, say, the Drygor Longsword, which is the level 90 melee weapon, yes... the Drygor Longsword has 1102 damage and 2458 accuracy. So, you know, you're getting 90% of the way there with level 85 weapons. So, you know, when you start to think about it, it becomes a question of, do you want to do ports or do you want to spend money on Drygors?
Yeah, that's a whole... opportunity cost there.
Yeah, and...
Except not really with ports, because that's what, like 5 minutes a day?
Exactly.
And how much are Drygors?
Well, they've actually been tanking it since this update was announced, believe it or not. Which is kind of disappointing.
Soul wands now.
Yep. The mace is at 31, the rapier 32, and the longsword 36 million.
What were those at 6 months ago?
Well, let's look at the mace, since that's the one that I own. Going back 6 months, 56 million.
And it's down to 30?
31, yes.
31? Okay. Ew.
But to be fair, they've been, you know, on a... gradual slide down through this entire time period, so it's
yeah,
not all due to the ports.
People are getting more
mm-hmm,
or more
mm-hmm.
are being created.
Yeah, and I mean, if you get lucky, I guess, and you did get the Tengu Tsuba from the mission, you could just create this right away and have it, you know, within the first couple days if you had a stock of plate and pearls.
That's cool.
So I don't know. We'll see when I get the resources for this, if it's something I want to do, you know, sell the Drygors and move to the Katana, because like I said, 1041 damage versus what was the other one? What did I say? 1102, which, you know, is not too bad when you think about it.
Hmm.
So it's a question. Do you need that extra little edge of oomph, which, you know, if you don't, then you might as well just go with the ports option rather than the Kalphite King option. That's actually a 5% decrease in percent strength.
Hmm.
Anyways, moving on to the magic weapons, same thing goes for magic, except, you know, the materials change, and you got to do pretty much the same thing to send it in. That one requires 92 rune crafting, 100 chi, 50 koi scales, and a gemstone kaseki. These names are hard to say, aren't they?
Well, you have a hard time speaking on a good day, so this isn't helping.
So, you know, I can see where the magic ones are going to be useful, you know, seeing as you have to do, I believe it's the barrows to complete the level 90 wands. So this is definitely going to be the shorter option in this case. It's either Virago or the barrows. Seismic wand. Don't remember. Let me have a quick look and see on that. But anyways, regardless.
That doesn't matter.
It's Virago. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, definitely quicker here. But that's pretty much all there is to the ports update. A whole bunch of little ninja fixes. I'm not going to go through the entire list here because that would just be exhaustive. But there are two that I want to mention in particular. The Black Marketeer's random event has been tweaked, making it quicker. You only need to find three assassins now rather than the previous five.
And, do they always have arrows above their head now?
They always have arrows.
No, that's only if you're standing around wondering where the hell they are.
Oh, I assumed it was by design that you just had to wait for them to appear. I was just waiting for that.
No. No, it was helping you because you're challenged.
Oh. Oh. You can also now get XP lamps from Meg in agility, divination, and dungeoneering.
Oh, boy.
Yes. So you'll be wanting to do that, won't you?
I will.
Yeah, you want to level these up, right?
I guess.
Yeah,
eventually.
Yeah, so you don't have to go through the pain of getting 75 divination again. Anyways, one thing we're going to talk about before we move on to this is the improvements made to the captain's logbook. Does it feel as though these changes made to the captain's logbook are useful?
Well, you can just send missions out and check on them. Well, you could check on them before, right?
Yes.
But you can't, like, collect them, so you still have to go to the port to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is disappointing.
Maybe?
That's disappointing. Because when the behind-the-scenes video for this was being done, there was a thing from Mod Pips that said he could, you know, just stay at the Runespan and, you know, continue on his daily binge gathering of memories or whatever it's called up there. But if you can send ships out and you're going to be there for a number of days, it kind of makes sense that you should be able to retrieve the reward coming back. That's really my only complaint.
Or at least
about
add
the
it
changes.
To at least add it to like NPC contact.
Yeah, that'd
the
be good.
Lunar spell.
Yeah, that'd be very good.
That's something that could work. You could buy that ability.
Sure. Because, you know, we never really use that spell, I think. I think the only thing NPC contact is really used for is the repairing rune pouches, right?
I guess. I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, but aside from that, you know, just send missions out from wherever you are, which is good. The UI is there. You can see the ship and whatnot. So very nice. But aside from that, ports update brought lots of nice little changes for import. And, well, you can apparently also fix the awning of the bar there, which has been dilapidated for quite some time.
It's been what?
It's been dilapidated for quite some time.
The hell does that mean?
You know, dilapidated, like damaged or destroyed?
Why didn't you just say damaged or destroyed?
Oh, well. Anyways.
I've never heard that word before in my life.
Huh. Really, I have. It's a very common thing.
Dilapidated?
Yeah.
Commies.
Alrighty. Anything else with the ports update?
No.
Alrighty. Well, back we go to just sending him off to port every other little day.
Please don't sing.
No. I would never do that. I would never expose anyone to that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. I thought you were going to take us away, but next up is the tweaks and fixes. Once again, a quiet week here. But the most interesting thing this week is the selfie mode for the Orb of Oculus.
Sweet mother of God.
So basically what this does is it added a right-click option.
Do you like the Orb of Oculus on a stick? And hold it out?
No.
Is that what you do?
No, it just appears.
You know what selfie stick is, Shane?
Yes, I do. And
you own one? I bet you own one.
No. Of course not. But it just, the camera just appears in front of you. You can rotate it, zoom it in, that sort of thing. Except rather than being able to move it around, it's just centered around your player. So it's a much more limited version of the Orb of Oculus.
So how does this differ from just the normal camera?
It's quicker. Oh, you mean the normal camera, like just the
like
arrow keys?
The normal camera.
Well, you
like
can
not
zoom it
the
in.
No Orb of Oculus. I can zoom in. I can zoom in quite a bit.
It's a higher center point. Where you can, with this one, you can zoom in straight on your head. Hence, selfie stick, right?
All right. Selfie mode?
Yeah, selfie mode.
You mean?
Right? Yes. Let's not call it the God. Selfie stick, shall we?
Oh, God.
You got to wonder if an update like this came around from JMod, Mod Selfie.
Ha! Ha!
Alrighty. Otherwise, in tweaks and fixes this week, a new history book has been added for the Black Knight's Fortress to replace some of Sir Owen's dialogue. It can be found in your player-owned house.
It?
Yeah, books.
What does that mean?
Well, remember they redid the Black Knight's Fortress quest?
Yeah.
This is just basically an updated book covering what happened.
Alright.
Compared to how it used to be with the old lore.
Oh, is that history book just like a walkthrough of everything that happened?
Yeah, in that quest. And, they had to update it. And apparently credits go out to Kitty Phantom, Robo
what?
Hobo, FSWE1, and Y-E-Cetel for their collaboration.
Is he in? I know that name.
It's a Majorat.
No. Like, I know there's a player.
Huh. Oh, right.
I think he was in Clan Quest, actually.
Oh, well, that would make sense then. But these players collaborated on the history of the Kinshra. Very interesting. Combination potions can now be stored
checking
in a Beast of Burden.
That.
They weren't able to before, so that's nice. Allow you to binge
combination
on those,
potions. Combination potions are what?
Those are the ones from the Melior area in Priftinas, like combining overload and anti-fire, that kind of thing. So you can, binge on doing Queen Black Dragon now by storing those in your Beast of Burden.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting.
Yes. Unfired and unstarted runed urns can now also be stored in the Beast of Burden. So, if you're fishing or something, you can just bring a tortoise full of urns and there you go.
Why would you do that? No, that's incredibly inefficient.
Why?
You just need like two. Because two lasts you quite a few inventories. And then once one of them gets filled, you teleport it away. And then next time you go to the bank, you just grab another one. I don't want a tortoise full of them.
But remember,
are you talking about power fishing?
Yes.
You're just dropping it all?
No. Remember, the banking station in the Living Rock Caverns is just a deposit box. You can't actually access your bank.
Oh. Maybe. I don't know.
So that is a reason why players would want this.
Okay.
Nothing else jumped out at me from the patch notes this week. Anything jump out at you?
Yes. Players can now use the join feature via their clan chat and friends chat interfaces. That's really great.
Oh, good. Means I can find you easier.
Oh, God. But I'm already on your friends list, so... But this is useful when you're trying to track down people who don't have you added, so they appear offline. But you need to find them, because they aren't seeing your messages. Been having a lot of issues with that lately, but...
Oh, okay. So. Very interesting.
That's really it.
Okay, then. Well, now comes the time of the podcast that everybody has been waiting for. Maybe. Waiting for with, you know, eager anticipation. The first voting has taken place on Rune Labs. And we are starting to see some interesting trends coming around with this. But before we begin, I would like to state that right now, earlier when I was putting this show together, the top idea under the miscellaneous category was to remove Power to the Players and Rune Labs. With 699 supporters, it has since been rejected by Jagex. So it got that high, but it got rejected. So I think...
So does it show... Where does it show that it's been rejected?
There's a little red X up top next to add to my wish list. And down below, there's the JMod response. Hello, thanks for this suggestion.
Oh, like if you upped it, it'll be on your wish list. If you upped it and they declined it, it'll still be on the wish list.
No, it'll disappear. Yes, correct. Correct.
Okay.
We are rejecting this as it goes against our business interests at this time. Obviously, we would like to give Rune Labs a chance. There's much more we want to do with it, and I want to reassure everybody that we are reviewing the top ideas carefully. We aren't going to accept anything that we feel damages the game. We aren't solely working on player ideas. We imagine that Rune Labs suggestions will make up about 1/3 of our updates.
Ugh.
Anyways, so this just goes to, you know, discuss some of the things that people have been saying with Rune Labs and how it's not exactly going to be representative and it's got its own set of issues. But anyways, we digress. The top ideas this week on Rune Labs. I guess we could call this segment The Lab with Reed and Shane.
Farming Timer. Which is the top.
Oh, God.
Are you saying, oh, God, this is something you want? Or is was that the good kind of, oh, God?
No, this is the horrible, horrible kind of.
Wait, really? Yes. I thought you liked this idea.
No, I hate this idea. The very fact it's got 2289 supporters shows that people are not thinking through clearly as to what already exists in the game. Because there is such an invention out there called the Amulet of Farming that you can attune to
a
certain patch.
You were for it before I mentioned that, weren't you?
No, I was against this from when I saw it last night. I was against this when I first saw this idea.
All right.
But basically, once your herbs and trees are fully grown, you will be alerted with a pop-up and a text message. So, in going
Hey, Bola and everyone else, I just want to reassure you all that any existing item spells that already offer this to various extents would also receive an update to keep them desirable, and that is from mod Kelpie.
Yeah, this he or she seems to be the person that's curating most of the JMod responses from Rune Labs ideas, so I don't know how I feel about this. I don't think it's ultimately needed, because, like I said, we already have this from various other things, and Jagex acknowledges that. But if this was to come into game, my question is, would this be available for everybody from level one, or would you need to unlock it through some sort of quest or achievement diary kind of deal?
Yeah, I don't like it. Making it too easy.
Because, I mean...
Lodestones.
Yeah, there's one. There's an idea for that, too, that I saw. I'm kind of surprised.
Oh, really? How many votes does it have?
I don't recall, but I was kind of surprised that that wasn't the one that you were supporting this week.
Well, I didn't see it.
All right. But, you know, there needs to be some more clarification on this. And, you know, for that, I'm grateful that this will go to a poll once the idea process is complete, which is good, because this one is winning by about 300 votes. And moving on to that, is the next one is the Slayer Belt, which is basically a tool belt for Slayer. Combines everything you need for Slayer, and you can add all of them to this Slayer Belt.
So like the granite, the rock hammer, and...
For gargoyles, yeah. Holy Wrench, Bone Crusher, Bag of Salt.
What? No! No! No, Yeah, why don't you just carry everything? How about we just add one to bring the whole bank with us? I like that idea.
Yeah,
don't you, Shane?
Yeah, that's kind of where
we can access any merchant from anywhere.
That's kind of where this is heading, ain't it? I mean, when you think about it, the Seedicide, Bone Crusher, Ectoplasmator, the Charming Imp, the Herbicide, those are not
Slayer items.
I already put
those in your pocket slot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what I do. My Slayer loadout is whatever the hell I have on, and then I have the Bone Crusher in my pocket slot, and then I have Teleport, Ring of Slayer, Prayer Flask, Gym Bag, Herbicide, and the Explorer's Ring, and then two sharks if I need those for some reason, but I never do. That's my inventory.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm doing gargoyles, I'll have that rock hammer in there,
yeah,
too.
And
but
to be fair, there was an update to Slayer way back when that made it so that if
it doesn't
you...
Dramatically.
Yeah, if you just have it in your inventory, it gets used.
It's not like...
I mean, maybe the bag of salt, the ice cooler, the fungicide, the rock hammer. I could see adding those kind of things, but come on. Adding everything like the Seedicide, Bone Crusher, and whatnot.
Yeah,
nah. That's too overpowered. And this is currently in second place with 1904.
Is there a downvote option?
No, the only thing remotely...
I bet there's not, because that would get abused.
You're probably right. You're probably right. So.
Oh, well.
And, like, what if we go through this process and the farming timer wins, and when it ultimately comes down to it, players vote no. What
then
are we supposed to do?
It won't happen.
Yeah, and they want one third of the updates, and let's say two or three of them get shot down by the players. I'm assuming it'll be more like two,
and
maybe one.
Hopefully, Jagex will reallocate those resources to something worthwhile.
But assuming update takes between 3 and 6 months to put out, less if it's a ninja fix, what are you going to do? Slot more ninja fixes in for these updates that are missing?
Quests. Quests.
That would be nice. That would be very nice.
Quests.
Anyways, as you can see, we're having a bit of trouble seeing exactly how this is going to pan out and, you know, whether or not this will actually be successful in the end. But those are your two current top supported ideas on Rune Labs this week. And now comes a point where we get to shine a light on ideas that we like and we think are truly worthy. So you can begin.
Mine is actually the third one, and it is a trimmed quest point cape. And it's whenever you get the whenever you can do the Taskmaster emote, then your quest cape, you can go to the Wise Old Man and it be trimmed. So
I think that's
a nice idea. Good. I think that's entirely reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will press the support button on that one then.
I just did.
Very nice. Now mine is something that I had a very hard time choosing between updates.
Oh, hold on.
Okay.
Hello, we have reviewed the design and have decided we would not include tasks. You would require completion of sagas, post-quest content, and mini-quests. I mean, all right.
That's even better.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Even better.
Okay. I like that.
Yep, I still press support on that. Anyways, mine that I'm supporting is a lesser-known idea that really hasn't got that much traction yet, and I think everybody should give it some traction just to get it going, is something from a fellow named WizKid who suggests Soul Altar and new spells. So Soul Altar, I think it's about time for those with 90 plus runecrafting. This is something I said a long time ago that, you know, we really should have the Soul Altar. I was in the camp that thought we'd get it with Priftiness, but apparently not. I'm currently not sure where we'd end up seeing the Soul Altar, but considering that, you know, RX2 came out in 2004 or 2003, I think. 2003. It's about time to have the Soul Altar and runecrafting complete.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that one. Support the Soul Altar and other spells. And, you know, maybe this could come with the Saren spells. I don't know, because I know they were still looking at whether or not they were actually going to do those and what update they would be a part of. So, that's the Soul Altar. And the other one that I was contemplating supporting, but I figured I'd wait for quest month, is Elemental Workshop Part 5, but we'll leave it at that.
No.
I like that quest line. I really do.
Masochist.
All right. Anyways, so there's your featured Rune Labs updates, everyone. Go support the ideas that we talked about here. You can find them in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. Now it's time for the polling update. Something that you were, I guess would be fair to say, irate about when we talked about it in the first...
Is this the damn aquarium?
Yes, this is the follow-up to the aquarium poll. So the high-level fish, you get to choose what kind of fish we'll be able to get from the aquarium. Choices are combo fish, currently at 10%, a passive fish, 38%, random fish, 7%, risky fish, 18%, simple fish,
10%. What is this? Red fish, blue fish?
And I don't mind, 14%. So, passive fish, currently winning. And basically,
what does that mean?
Well, let me tell you what it means. The passive fish is basically a fish that will give you some other benefit. Maybe a buff or, a regen of health over time. That's what the passive fish is.
Well, at least they're actually giving it a use, but this doesn't make sense. How are those fish... How are we going to repopulate the supply of fish if we're just killing them all?
I don't know. But, anyways.
I think this was a terrible idea, personally. At least it's not just fish there. There's some use for it.
We're going to get something out of construction with this. So, I mean, it's not...
We're still not getting the real construction update that we were promised.
No, but...
So I am not happy.
Whoa, that's weird. Okay.
What?
Oh, just the way this thing messed up in the voting here. Huh. Weird.
What happened?
Well, I mean, the little icon that said high-level fish went into the corner of my browser.
Oh, good.
Now, anyways, you wanted the passive fish, or what did you vote?
I voted the aquarium.
Okay. Anyways, the simple
fish. I don't
fish...
even want to vote I don't mind, because I do mind, because this is a shitty update.
All right. The simple fish is a fish that heals somewhere between shark and cave fish. The risky fish, greater effects, greater life gain, the lower
Who
your hit points are.
Who picked these names?
Jagex,
Who picked
evidently.
These names? Risky fish?
Yep.
Risky fish.
Yeah.
Random fish? Combo fish? What the hell?
The combo fish is a fish that has greater effects if you manage to eat them at precise times after killing a creature, for
example. So, hold on. What if I don't mind wins? I voted for I don't mind because I want an I don't mind fish. I want an apathetic fish.
Choose this option if you do not mind which option wins.
I want an apathetic fish.
Do you want a Magikarp then?
No.
Oh, okay.
A damn fish. Stupid update.
Yeah, and then the random fish is, you know, like the Evil Dave stews and whatnot. But I voted for simple fish.
Shitty fish.
Alrighty. Well, with that being said, moving on to Treasure Hunter. Protein hides. Kind of knew these were going to appear at some point, didn't we?
Woo! Is this crafting?
Yes. Yes. Oh.
Oh, good.
Oh,
wait,
boy.
What? Oh.
Well, we got a crafting skill a month coming up.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were about to say you didn't press the record button.
Oh, no. We always press the record button these days.
Except sometimes.
But yeah, protein hides, just like protein planks and all the other things, you can use them for whatever you want, all the way up to Black Dragon Hide.
Woo!
And finally, we got Behind the Scenes for February, featuring a quest! A quest! It's that Zamorak heist quest.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Am I supposed to be excited about that one, or is it going to be... Meh.
Well, the question
well,
is...
Well, it's a quest. I'll give it a chance. It's not a damn aquarium.
And, I mean...
So it's already got that going for it.
But the question you guys had at Clan Quest with this, when we talked about, you know, the quest poll, was, does a heist really fit Zamorak's character?
It doesn't. I don't think it does.
Exactly.
Because Zamorak's, like, he's not crafty whatsoever, it seems.
Well, maybe that's why he's assembling this band of rebels to put together the heist.
I guess. I don't know.
Chances are you'll see Nomad.
It's about damn time.
What happened to him?
He was supposed... Well, I never got to see that cutscene.
Oh,
never
right.
got to see the ending cutscene because I died at the same time Nomad died, but thank God that allowed me to complete the quest.
You could probably YouTube it.
Yeah, I could, but I'm still waiting for them to bring a movie theater so I can watch all the quest cutscenes or just replay quests.
Oh, that's an idea. We could submit that for Rune Labs, the movie theater.
I like that idea.
I was trying to think of what to submit, but my one idea, I couldn't words it simple enough that people would like it.
You couldn't words it? What was your idea?
I wanted responsive text. so that if you increase the game window size, the font gets bigger, so I can play RS on the 50-inch TV.
Yeah, I've noticed that that's kind of bad on my Surface, which has a really high DPI display. The screenshots I take look really shitty.
Yeah, so high DPI mode and better font handling for RS would have been my thing, but I didn't know exactly.
Is that RS or is that more of a Java limitation? Because I remember when I was doing that god-awful thing for programming, the DPI on it was messed up. Or the DPI scaling on it was messed up, too.
No, it's probably Java, then.
Oh, do we have an ETA on the C++ thing?
No. Anyways, back to behind the scenes. This is a sequel to Missing Presumed Death, so you will need that. It will also require level 30 thieving and agility.
Yay.
So it's not going to be...
I think I have all of those.
Oh, yeah, of course. other things coming this month. The demon flash mobs are being updated. I don't do those.
I think I did one just to do them. Are those only in the wilderness?
No, they can be anywhere.
Oh, okay. I did one of the goblin ones.
Yeah, they're dangerous and you can get killed from them, so something to be wary of. TLC to those, including some new titles, including the Frostborn, Glorious, and the Executioner. Drop tradable summoning materials.
What's with all the Borns? Is this the Born identity or something?
I don't know.
It's getting a little irritating. I guess Osborn. It's all his fault.
Born. In addition, demon flash mobs will no longer deal extra damage to players using the Protect Item Prayer, which should make attacking them in the wilderness a less terrifying option. Maybe they are in the wilderness. But anyways.
And I haven't done any of them.
Okay. Wieldy Worm and Lava Strike Worm returning. This was a one-time event back in February 2011, and it's now returning for good. It's basically a little distraction and diversion that you can hunt down in the wilderness a boss that, you know, is not instant or anything like that.
And it never left your thoughts despite its short lifespan? I don't think it entered my thoughts.
Yeah, same here. but I do want to say that if this update can be successful and can inspire some people to learn and to PvP on the current version of the game and maybe bring some PvPers back, I think that'll ultimately be a good thing for the economy.
Yeah, I don't really see how people can PvP and not this. You just click on them.
Yeah.
You just click your potion and then you click on them and then you wait.
And, you know, part of it for me comes down to the whole tick rate thing. But
yeah, that's anyway. Why I would not PvP in RS. Yeah,
exactly. Same
it's tick rate.
But the demon, or not the demon flash mob, sorry, the Wieldy Worm will be dropping level 85 combat gear with unique special attacks with, and I quote, new degrade mechanics inspired by old school RuneScape.
Degrade mechanics?
Yeah, degrade mechanics inspired by old school RuneScape.
What does that mean?
I have no idea, but who'd have thought, you know, something so hideous could bring something back?
You won't spend coins to repair the weapons. Rather, the base item will degrade to dust, leaving you with the upgrade item to reuse. This adds a much-needed item sink that will really help the economy. All right. Cool.
I guess that's good. Double XP weekend, of course, as we know, Game Blast 15, 20th to the 23rd of February. Should be very interesting. And player-suggested combat changes, including a number of NPCs being made aggressive once again. And due to the close nature of the poll, we have removed the more dangerous monsters from, like dragons, from the list. But there's also one thing hidden. in this update that's in the second paragraph that I think is going to be the highlight of February. And this is that we will be significantly increasing combat responsiveness, allowing you to instantly trigger an attack when you use an ability and change targets more easily. Revolution mode has also been improved and should stop and start in a more responsive manner.
Excellent.
Very nice. I'd be interested to see, you know, how much of a apparent increase on this there is, because, you know, as it is right now, you kind of got to wait for that to happen. But if it happens instantly, right when you want it, that's going to be a very nice thing. And, you know, could really ultimately...
I mean, that would make this bossing better. Viable for PvP as yes. well.
Yes. And how they're going to do that with such a low tick rate, I have no idea. But if they can pull it off, very nice.
Oh, look what they did with Java, right?
Yep. I remember back in 2004 when I was taking one of my first computer science classes back in high school. And we were learning Java for the first time. And, you know, Java applets, that was a question. Do you start with a Java applet or do you start with a Java console program? And it wasn't actually me. There was actually somebody else in the class who played RS and actually showed the teacher. No, it was actually someone else. I don't remember the guy's name. But played RS. And this was back when RS2 had, of course, just come out. And Java was pushing, or RS was pushing the limits of Java even back then.
I think it still is.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, RS has got to be the biggest browser-based game that exists.
Yeah.
So.
It's time to move from the browser, Jagex. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
Well, I think now we can move on to the listener questions currently. Sound good to you?
Excellent. Alrighty. We have an audio question from Schwa that was phoned in not... what was it, 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, I'll see how this goes. Phone quality sometimes is hit or
miss.
We
have not heard this question, so we're doing it live.
Hey, guys, this is Schwa here. I've got a question for you guys this week. I was wondering, with the introduction of free-to-play and bonds and Grand Exchange Imminent on Old School RuneScape, I was wondering if you think there's going to be any kind of... movement per se in the player base to move to old school RuneScape rather than playing RS3. Anyway, your guys' comments on the matter would be great. Thanks. Bye.
First off, let me say thank you for tying this to RS3, because if you did not tie it to RS3, this would hit the floor.
Now, does he mean player base of RS in general, or player base of RSBNB?
I would assume player base of RS in general.
Let's talk about both. So, all right. I'll let you talk about RS in general, but I'm the community ambassador, so it's my job to know that other stuff. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think the people of RS3 are happy where they're at currently. When Legacy Mode came out, we pretty much universally viewed that around here as, you know, the final thing to either, you know, make the game playable for some people or give people a reason to, you know, finally make a decision where they're going to end up. So I think the majority of people who have stuck with RS3 are going to enjoy it, and I can say that in the last year and a half, I've seen in-game, the people I've, you know, run into and chat with in-game, outside of our community, the negative connotations of the current game as it is have gone down. So I'm assuming people who have already left will have left. I would also like to point out that we also have a much better ecosystem when it comes to that of not having as many bots in game as you guys do over on that other game.
There actually is a bot problem.
As far as I know, I think that's what Shaw actually told me.
I can neither confirm nor deny that, so take that with a grain of salt. Not that Shane would willingly lie to you, but it's unconfirmed. But as for RSBNB, we are looking at we as in the community ambassador team are looking into expanding to old school RS sometime in the near future. The details of that are still being worked out. But expect to see
more.
And as
you can tell, I signed off my involvement with the community ambassador team when it was created. They're autonomous, that's allowed to happen.
That's one reason why if you go to the forums and you look at the community ambassadors group, I am listed as the sole leader, while for all of the other groups, Shane and or Mike are listed as the leaders as well. But I knew from the beginning that this was going to be inevitable, and I knew that Shane would not like that. So,
I'll just throw this out there right now that I would rather have my RS account banned than start up an old school account under my name of Shane12088.
And you don't have to. So, woo! But yes, expect to see more in the coming months.
And thank you, Schwa, for, you know, tying this back to RS3, because if something is not tied to RS3, we cannot talk about it on the show. I still press the edit button, so I do still have, that is the one thing I will not let in on, Reed.
Yes, dear leader.
Okay, as we said last week.
Of course, dear leader.
Time to kiss the ring once again.
Yes, dear leader.
Thank you, Schwa. And if you want to send in an audio question like Schwa did, just email it to questions@rsbnb.com, or you can phone it in to the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632. And for those of you guys who tried to send in audio questions this week to the email inbox, it appears to be working right now. I'm not sure why it wasn't working yesterday.
Woo! All right, so... would you like me to read the first question?
Please.
All right. This is from Colton or 101 Duck One, right, Shane?
Yes.
Shane's has an infamous typo with his name. Just look one key over from the D on your keyboard. hey host, tried to record an audio question, but it won't go through for some reason, so here I am in text form. My question for you both is as follows. Do you have a certain place in the world you hold close to your heart? Perhaps a place that evokes a strong emotional response, or a place that brings you peace or solace? Often life can become overwhelming, but when I seek out my own place of refuge, everything else seems to fade. Well, thanks so much for the great podcast, and a belated welcome to me. Reed, may your time as co-host be long and fulfilling. Well, thank you. I hope it will be. Shane doesn't censor me too much.
Oh, we'll have a mutual understanding of what is acceptable.
That
and
sounds
what is
kind
not.
Of terrifying.
We'll have a mutual understanding of what is acceptable and how one can bend one way or the other by the
we
end of this
will
episode.
Be, an understanding will be made between us. Right, Shane?
Correct.
Extortion. But, Shane, you go first.
Yeah, this question is good, Colton. Thank you for submitting it. You know, every so often you feel as though, like you said, you just need a break from stuff, and even if it's only for 2 days, one thing that's always been very effective for me is just, you know, weekend or 3 days. That's enough. Just, you know, a trip to the mountains here in Alberta. The mountains, the Rocky Mountains, at least in our neck of the woods, straddled the Alberta-British Columbia border and have some of the nicest scenery in the world, probably, in my view, the best. So just spending a couple days there can be, you know, completely refreshing. And even if it's only two or three, it really does, you know, just clear the mind and bring a new perspective on things if you're struggling with something like, you know, a problem or whatever.
But that helps your allergies too, right?
Allergies have been fine since I've been younger. The main irritant these days are cats.
Yeah. All right, so my turn. My place is I have a number of places. Usually wherever I go, I'll find a spot that I can, if, like here at university, of course, there's my dorm room. But at school, in high school, I went to a private school. I was good friends with the IT director, and I even had my computer, that I built just from spare parts there, that I used, and I just kept it in his office, and, eventually became known as my office as well. So I could go there, and that was my area. And if I really needed to be away from people, I could always just go up, like, into the sound booth. It's nice and quiet up there when chapel's not going on, on the tech crew.
Is that the Twitter profile pic area?
Maybe. No, that's, okay. Like, outside of it. So, sort of.
Okay.
but I think the thing that brings me the most peace is when I take a long drive. I have a 5-hour drive back home from university, and Shane has Skyped me because, I mean, it's a long drive and Shane can talk for hours about anything. so he's good to talk to. Do I seem really calm when I'm driving? I mean, driving through Atlanta.
Yeah. Aside from that. Yeah.
But I mean, calmer than pretty much anywhere else.
I can't say I've noticed, but yeah, sure. I mean, you've not had any eruptions unless, of course, you know, it's been said Atlanta, but, you know.
Yeah, Atlanta's pretty terrible. but it's just refreshing because it's just me, my car, and the road. And I can listen to music if I want to. I can listen to NPR. I can sing as loud as I want to. And I prefer driving at night, too, so it's not bright. And there are also not a lot of people on the road. And so I just find it very, very peaceful. I had a 45-minute drive to and from high school every day. And that was always helpful as well. So, yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that question, Colton. I'm glad you were able to get it to us. The next one is from the R Man. What are the best ideas you've seen on Rune Labs so far? Better yet, what are the worst? And, you know, we did talk about the two earlier, so those are, of course, the best by number. But anyways, out of the top that he's seen are the ability to add Adaman and Rune Dragons to the game. 1278 people so far, placing it at number 4. And there's a link in the show notes to find this idea if you want to support it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about We talked about all of that earlier.
Yeah, so I think we can just talk about some of the silly ideas that we've seen, since we already talked about our favorite ones that we like. I'm actually going to just point you guys to one of the Informer articles that we have this week called The Trolls in White in White Coats by Lord Rickles. Basically goes into what people have been using Rune Labs for. And it really sums up what most of the idiotic ideas are in-game. I mean, you have people saying things like remove EOC, remove Legacy, remove Rune Labs, remove PTTPP. But it's just lots of crazy ideas like that. And, I mean, people have a platform now to submit these, which is rather unfortunate. But at the same time, I'm kind of hoping something good will come from Rune Labs, so I don't want to, you know, bash it too much, if you know what I mean. So I'm holding out for something good, but I'm not entirely sure we can achieve that yet with how much garbage there is floating around at the lower levels. And, I mean, yeah, we know search is not out yet, and it'll be a couple months before we get that. But, I mean, it...
And a question about that.
Yeah.
For you, how difficult is implementing a search function for something
well,
like this?
Considering we got 12,000 ideas, and I think there's a base of 2,000 characters. You know, if JX
could you do this in one day?
In one day? No. A week? Yes, you could have something together cobbled together in a week that would work. Here's the issue. Databases do not inherently sort free and open text easily, meaning you need to have certain ways
Shane. I don't think our listeners particularly want the really complex explanation, but just there's not this isn't something you can just snap your fingers and it's done. Yes?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you could.
I know stuff. I know quite a bit about computers, but I didn't know that because I don't know anything about databases. But that's something that it is good to make clear.
Yeah.
JAGEX isn't just being lazy about this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming they want, like I said, a full text search, which is hard to do. But if they wanted to throw something together in, you know, a week or 2 weeks that they could get out to us right away, the simplest solution would be to add a tagging mechanism and have players tag their entries, you know, farming, slayer, that sort of thing, in addition to the categories. Because that way then you can easily search based on those one-word things that you know are going to exist and then link them back to the ideas they're associated with. So that would be a way.
I think that'd be more helpful, really.
Yeah, it would. It would. Because, you know, you might not know what someone would use, so then you can give JMods the opportunity to add tags and whatnot. But, I don't know. I mean, lots of odd things came up. One thing that came up was the ability to have Twitch playback directly in-game.
So, what does that mean?
Well, you would basically have Twitch open up inside your Java client rather than opening up in your browser, and you could watch whatever stream is currently going on.
Dear God, RS can barely handle itself without crashing. I don't think we need to do anything else. Oof.
Yeah. Interesting other ideas, though, that I've seen is maybe, you know, going back to the whole old school thing, people do want something like this for old school RS, which, I mean, they have forums currently, but I guess if this works here, it could easily be ported over to that. I don't know, but there's lots and lots of troll stuff, and I don't know how anybody is going to sort through 600 pages of, you know, ideas that work and don't work.
So.
It's just the bad ideas that are really out there. I mean, yes, there are some good ones, but, I mean, come on.
No.
Okay. You have any bad ideas you want to highlight?
Not particularly.
All right.
Yeah.
You may read the next one.
Oh, dear. Question from Flash. Dear hosts, what sports did you play in high school, if any? If none, then what are the sports that you enjoy playing in recreation? The reason I'm asking is because I recently decided to join wrestling this year. I was pretty nervous and hesitant about it at first, but now after being on the team for a month, I realize I made a great choice, and now I actually find it fun. Thank you. And that's from Flash. Shane? Sports?
I did not play any in high school.
Did you in elementary school?
Well, occasionally floor hockey at lunchtime.
So what, like you guys would take your the frozen meals that were dropped off on the food from the food trucks every morning and left outside? You used that and that warmed them up, right? That's how you warmed your food?
No, but that's funny. I commend you for that. aside from that, I have always enjoyed badminton. And, of course, in phys ed class, it was always also fun to play lacrosse. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You played lacrosse?
Yeah, and I quite enjoyed it.
Did you knock people over?
No, we weren't allowed to have physical contact.
Oh, this... What? Oh, that's like women's lacrosse. Ugh. It's boring. It's like ice hockey without... being able to hit other people.
Well, it was school, and the school had a no-contact sports thing, even if you were, you know, outside just playing recreationally.
Damn schools. Back in my day.
Right, Shane? I also used to be quite the shark at the dodgeball games.
Shark?
Oh, yeah.
Shark.
Yeah, strategic.
Ray shark?
Yeah, strategic, you know, being able to take people out at opportune times and whatnot.
I see.
Yeah. I'd say those are my three.
I never played any sports in high school, although theater has been called a spectator sport. But, I mean, I enjoy playing pretty much anything. Soccer. Floor hockey, basketball. Yeah, I mean, I find it enjoyable. I'm not particularly good at them, but
yeah,
it's fun.
I think that's why we decided to press buttons rather than throw balls.
Meh.
But
I'm just not built for it. I probably could be, but whatever.
You know, there's lots of danger involved too. I don't know. Did you ever have injuries in your phys ed classes?
Oh, God, yes. Well, no, this wasn't in a... this wasn't in a PE class, but one day we were playing soccer outside at recess, and I was there, I was playing soccer, and I was wearing sunglasses, and I was on defense as... the guy was running towards me with the ball, and he took a shot, and I blocked it with my face, and it broke the sunglasses, and I had a giant, it was more than a bruise, I went to the, like, it was enough that I needed to go to the doctor.
Oh,
And I was like, this is like third grade, so I don't remember it very clearly, but I think the doctor said that I was lucky that a blood vessel didn't burst.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. Yeah, wow. It's pretty bad.
Okay.
But I'm okay.
Yeah, the reason I was going to bring that
up
is...
an eye.
Yeah, that could be the case. That's a real danger of lacrosse. So if you're playing that, you really ought to wear facial protection. But
at least they didn't score.
Yes, that's a way of looking at it. Very good. Very good. And you know, what's the point of playing it if you're not keeping score, right?
Exactly.
In the other phys ed class, I think it was in grade 8, it was the wrestling unit, and the teacher broke a kid's collarbone.
Damn.
Yeah, so I always tell that story when it comes to injuries. I did not have any injuries, but other people weren't so lucky.
A girl in my class got banned from... I think she got banned from playing any sports because in basketball, during a game, she, like, grabbed the ball and the other person wouldn't let go, so she flipped them.
What's wrong with that?
Well, the person got really hurt, I think.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think she was banned.
And, you know, to be fair, we're not out for advocating.
I mean, this was like
people.
Seventh grade.
Yeah. But so. I know that you enjoy it when there's, you know, that kind of stuff that goes on in the games, right? Because you told me a story last year.
They can't win if their legs don't work.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you only have 5 fouls in basketball and you can't take them home with you. So,
but you cheer at basketball games when people get knocked down.
Cuz it's funny.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, but we're getting off topic. But anyways, thank you for the question, Flash, and wish you all the luck and hope for no injuries.
Woo!
Alrighty, moving on to tech news. YouTube now streams in HTML5 by default.
Excellent.
So this means if you're using Chrome or Firefox or a modern version of Internet Explorer, no more Flash on YouTube. HTML5 started off as an experiment in 2010. I was one of the first to enable it. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
It greatly improves the experience when using YouTube, you know, just because you don't need a third-party plugin like that, and just integrates so much better into the web browser. But as of today, it is now a default option in modern browsers. And, you know, if YouTube can really, you know, nail down the technology so it works for a wide group of people, I can really see Flash fading away, finally.
Not you, Flash, like Adobe Flash.
Yes, true. But I really don't like Adobe Flash because you have to update it so often.
Yeah, everyone wants Adobe Flash to die.
And, you know, Steve Jobs wanted the same thing to happen. And people laughed.
Yeah, which is what's... Really? I thought that's what spurred it on.
Well, it did spur it on, but people laughed at him at the time saying when he said HTML5 was the future.
Well...
But as we can see, he was right, and that's why iDevices do not carry Flash. But
sorry, Flash.
I'm very happy about this, and make sure you are using this on YouTube. You can check out your current status. Just head on over to youtube.com/HTML5, and it'll show you what your capabilities are. We can see that my browser supports the video element, H.264, Google's WebM codec, Media Source Extensions, MSC and H.264, and MSC and VP9. So, very good.
I don't know what any of that means, but excellent.
Yeah,
you have
codecs.
All the things, Shane.
Yes.
Well done.
I could explain those, but as you told me earlier, we won't.
They don't care. If you do care, send Shane a PM on the forums, and he will tell you. He might even write you an Informer article.
Oh yeah, I already got next month's Informer article lined up.
So yeah.
Anyways, moving on to other things, Apple reported its earnings this week, including $18 billion in profit.
Yay!
So that's more
laptops.
Oh no, way more than that. But it's also more than the GDP of Lithuania, 3 times over.
What's the population of Lithuania?
That's a good question. Let me look that up.
I'm not going to be impressed until it surpasses the GDP per capita of the United Arab Emirates.
2.9 million.
No, the GDP, not the GDP per capita. Unless you divide that by Apple Store employees.
2.9 million people.
Oh, maybe. See, that's not really impressive.
Because it says their GDP was 83 billion, but I read Lithuania combined with Apple somewhere. Huh. That's weird.
I mean, that's not impressive.
No, but, I mean...
still, like, people freaking out about China overtaking the U.S. in GDP.
It was the market value of Apple that is higher than the GDP of Lithuania.
Oh.
Yeah. But...
anyways, you don't have very many people.
No, and, I mean, GDP is one indicator we can use for economic health and well-being in the world, but there are...
hey, I got an A in macroeconomics. We don't need to talk about it anymore.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Shane has a minor in economics, for those of you who don't know.
Anyways, going along with this story of Apple's profit, 69% of it came from iPhone sales, 9% from the Mac, and 12% from iPad sales. And iPad sales are down quite a bit, but the biggest chunk of the iPhone sales, would you believe it, comes from the iPhone 6 Plus.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one everyone's going crazy over.
Hmm.
I personally don't see how, but okay. So... now, you linked an article this week about the iPad, and
it
goes hand in hand with what went on with the iPad sales numbers here, how they're just doing downright horrible.
I read that at like 4 o'clock in the morning, so you would probably be better. It'd probably be better if you explained the article.
Yeah, basically the story is that, you know, the iPad was great when it existed in 2010. But today it's struggling to find its footing because you have smartphones that are getting bigger and laptops that are having battery that lasts for longer, and you can do pretty much more on every laptop than you can with the iPad. The only element really missing from the MacBook Air side of the equation is the ability to have a touchscreen, which is fixed by certain other tablets.
Now, in my personal experience, I own a Surface Pro 3, and Shane, I think when you asked me about it, I think one of the first things I said to you was, this is everything I wanted my iPad to be.
Yeah, and I mean, rightly so. And
because it can actually do things.
And since you got one, I actually had a chance to play with one of them at the Best Buy. And if somebody wants a premium laptop, tablet kind of thing, that's what I'll recommend to them.
I mean, it's very nice. I mean, as odd as it sounds, the hardware is very... would you agree that it's very Apple, Shane?
Yes.
Which is a great thing, because I personally do not like OS X, but... they make damn nice hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then this all comes back to the iPad. I mean, the iPad needs something else to, you know, make it relevant again. But there's a group of people out there for whom the iPad is great. And I'm specifically talking about parents. Parents who, before the advent of the iPad, really weren't on the internet all that much. People who, you know, want something they can use while watching TV or sitting in bed. That's not a laptop, because when you think about it, a laptop is awkward for those situations because you have the keyboard. And if you are in an iOS ecosystem or a Mac ecosystem, that's where the iPad fits nicely. And that's where the Surface fits if you're on the Windows side.
Yeah, I mean, I got a Windows Phone with 8.1 on it, the HTC One M8, and it's bigger. It's what do you call it, a phablet, Shane? Is it a phablet?
I don't know. What's the size of it?
HTC One M8.
For me, anything larger than 6 inches is a tablet.
5.76 inches height, 2.78 inches wide, and 0.37 inches depth.
What's the diagonal screen size?
Five because inches.
Okay, that's the same as the 6 Plus. You know, okay, that's a phablet. That's a phablet.
Okay. I mean, I used to lay in my bed and watch Netflix on my Surface, but when I got this, because my iPhone was too small to do that, and I've not used my iPad very much since I got my Surface. I've been watching Netflix on my phone, and yeah, it's great.
And here's the people, like, you're the prime case of what's being crowded out in the iPad market share. But there are people, like my parents, who do not want a 5.5-inch phone, but want an iPad. So, there you go. Because when the new iPhones came out, they actually had a look at these devices and decided they're too big for them. Couldn't fit in the purse, or, you know, or it's too big for the hand. So that's where the iPad fits in, and the iPhone 5S fits nicely. So that's why there is still a case for that, but it's just becoming an even smaller segment of the market. And, you know, maybe the 12-inch iPad will fix that. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Is there supposed to be a rumored 12-inch
iPad? How big is the iPad mini?
7.
And the normal iPad?
10.
So, like, 8 without the bezel around it?
9, actually.
No. Then you said a 12-inch?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a 12-inch either MacBook Air or iPad Pro coming out this year.
And what's that comparable to in size?
Surface? Yep.
Okay.
Anyways, that's enough Apple talk for the week. Moving on to something else, a bit of an experiment, something we haven't seen in a long time, a new web browser. So you remember the people who made Opera?
Vaguely.
Yeah, well, they're at it again. They have Project Vivaldi.
I'm kidding. I used Opera for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was meh.
Well, they're back at it again, and this... Whoa, that was loud. I forgot to turn my IM sounds off, and I just got my ears blasted.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it was Mike. But anyway.
It was Mike?
Yeah, signed in. But anyways, Project Vivaldi is basically an attempt by the Opera crew to make a new web browser based on the Chrome rendering engine that is what a modern web browser should be. And quite frankly, some of what they're talking about looks quite convincing. For example, there's going to be the ability to take notes, annotate web pages, you know, mark them up, take screenshots, that sort of thing. Could be very useful in terms of this. Speed dial, tab stacks, okay, yeah, we have all that already. But, I mean, sometimes we do need to turn the web browser on its head and start fresh, if you know what I mean. And it's about that time, considering the last major innovation is Chrome in, what, 2008, I think? So, we're getting there. Maybe this might spur some new innovation, but it's currently
available.
Well, yeah,
everyone's going to steal all of that stuff. But it's going to take, like, what, a decade?
Yeah. Technical preview
currently.
So expect
us to see this in Google Chrome 600?
2022.
Yeah.
The year 2022.
Something like that.
But technical preview is available at Vivaldi.com if you're interested in playing with new things. Currently works on Mac and Windows, but it's got most of the same old Opera team behind it.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting. Alrighty. That's it for tech news. We're going to move on to the skill of the month right now. And checking in on the Hunter skill of the month. No new news from last week. Tim is still maintaining a relatively linear trajectory with 14.7 million experience gained. Second place is Jamandy 52 with 4.6. But Sunset Fish is making gains on Jamandy 52 with 3.8 million experience gained.
All right, Sunset Fish. Pull a me. Win it.
He's got 2 days left.
If you pass Jamandy, then I will declare you the real victor.
Okay. And with that being said, the skill of the month for February is crafting. So if you're looking to sink some money, this is the time to do it.
Woo! Money.
Yep. Something we don't all have.
I don't.
No, neither do I.
You want to donate anyone? I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take coconuts as well if anyone's wanting to donate.
It's an oddly specific request.
Well, yeah,
I'll just take money.
Okay, that works too. But anyways, as mentioned, we also have two great Informer articles that were published this week, both on the topics of Rune Labs. The first one from Lord Rickles entitled "The Trolls in White Coats," talking about people misusing Rune Labs. And the second one from Tannis, "Stutters with Messy Launch." So Rune Labs didn't really get off on the right foot, and he talks about that side of the story. Ooh. All right, shall we move on to the Achievos of the Week?
Sure thing. Jamandy 52 got 99 magic on January 29th. Imperialis got 99 constitution on January 27th. RT Fondant got 99 mining on January 27th, and Barrage Tank got 99 constitution on January 24th.
Good job, everyone.
Very Woo. Good. What's your pick, Shane?
Okay. This feels something... This pick of the week is something that...
Oh, dear.
That I've struggled with and, you know, is something that probably we never thought here at Update would see the light of day. But this is, you can tell this is very hard for me. I've found an application on the iOS store that is entitled, it's entitled Alien Blue. It's the application, the official application for Reddit. And quite honestly, it's a better interface than exists on the actual website. So I have connected an account to that, and it makes using the website
a little bit less painful,
but I would still like to state that if you're looking for a good roundup of what's been happening on the internet, Dig is the place to go. But
one
you know,
of
I,
us.
You know,
one
it's always been
us.
One of the main issues with Reddit is that it's cumbersome. They've never updated the UI, and you can go to various other dang subreddits and you get all kinds of odd styles and blinky lights going on, and sure, you can disable
Shane,
that,
you went to Ur. The point of that subreddit's theme is to be absurd.
But just wait. I just like consistency with everything, and granted,
well,
you can
turn
it
off.
You can turn it off, but it looks ugly still. So this goes a long way, I think, in that regard, to mitigating it, making it feel more modern and, you know, actually usable. So that, I'm not saying you've got a complete convert, but it is a decent application.
Good.
So yeah, you can get that on the iOS App Store, and I'm sure there's some Android version, maybe? I don't know.
There's an equivalent of some sort. I wouldn't know,
exists.
Though.
There's some questionable UI stuff in the new experimental UI, but I find the classic view on this application's a lot
That's
better.
The one I still used.
Yeah, it's not... It doesn't exactly feel like a true iOS app in that regard. The original is better, I think. So,
mm-hmm.
And you know, the fact you can scale the text up, and it's just a, it just feels
it's very well written.
Yes. The only problem I had was getting it to sync the subscriptions, but I manually
just
added
the little
refresh. It didn't work.
Just press it again.
It didn't work. I reinstalled and whatnot. It didn't work, but it's good now. You can find that on the iOS App Store. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh God.
That's not right, what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
I don't know. That's like someone reacting like this, saying, "This is really difficult for me to say." That's like... No.
It's because I have such moral objections to using the website.
I know why. But... okay. We'll leave it there.
What have you been up to?
You go first.
I don't know if I can.
Anyways, I think you'll be fine.
All right. This week, farming on RS. And, I've reincorporated the wine into the farming run, and it's actually bringing forward a good amount of profit. So if you have 96 farming, definitely look into doing the grapes and creating Ceridoman and Zamorak wine and then selling it off for extra profit. But aside from that, I've been trying to, you know, debate whether it be runecrafting one day or maybe going to the Order of Ascension another day to, you know, kill some Mirari, and that's pretty much, I just rotate up the routine like that. Anyways, you can go.
Well, I've been doing school, stuff. So that's been there. But more importantly, I have been playing with my Windows phone, which I very, very much enjoy.
Yeah, you went to go pick that up after last week's show, I think.
That's correct. So yeah, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm very excited for the technical preview coming out next month. Do you like Steve Ballmer?
I
could power Cleveland with that guy's energy.
Oh my God. I don't not
Do
like,
like
him,
Steve
but I think
Ballmer?
He... Oh, I see.
Developers, etc.
You know, I do gotta say, the voice on that
Do you like Siri?
Is natural compared to Siri.
You bet. We're both trying to make people's lives a little easier.
You hear that, Shane?
What? Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Do you like Google Now?
Hard to say. So far, our conversations have been kind of one-sided.
What's the best computer?
Anything that runs Windows.
Oh, boy. I see.
Do you like iOS?
May the best OS win. You know, job security.
And Oh. What does the fox say?
Ring ding 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 a ring ding a ding.
So that's Cortana. That's what it's called in Windows Phone 8, right?
Yes, and okay. It's named after the AI from Halo, and it has the same voice actress.
Oh, interesting. So it sounds a whole lot more natural. No, it sounds a whole lot more natural than Siri.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. Alrighty, well, I think it's time to wrap this RSVB update up. Thank you for listening, everybody, and sharing your time with us, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye, everyone.